You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, July the 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. I'm all by myself. Tomorrow, we're going to bring on Wes Reimnitz for Rumination Thursday. But before I get started on the insight on Law and Gospel, we do have an announcement that many of you may have heard that the former president, Dr. Ralph A. Bowman, fell asleep on July the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Visitation will be held at the Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary today from noon to 2 p.m., followed by a funeral service at 2 p.m. Dr. Ralph Bowman was actually one of my professors when I was at the seminary, when the majority of both the faculty and the students were not of the same mind in dealing with theology. And a fond memory I had was he opened his house to a number of conservative confessional students. We would go over there and speak about what we were being taught on campus, and he was most helpful in giving us insight from God's word as to what really was going on. So his funeral today, 2 p.m., visitation from noon to 2 p.m. I indicated today we were going to do a insight on Law and Gospel. I'm now at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm. I'm what they call an interim pastor, as they call another pastor to Trinity, and I'm just helping out there at this time. But we did the newsletter, and on the front of the newsletter, Pastor Gaunt, the former pastor, always would have a little statement from the Book of Concord, which is the official confessions of the Lutheran Church. I did so also. Then I had a little page about what was going on at Trinity and our hopes for the future. But the item I chose was from the Formula of Concord called Solid Declaration, and it was point 5, the Law and the Gospel. When Luther died in 1546, a number of controversies arose regarding what he had taught and what the Bible says. And one of them was the distinction between law and gospel. So when they finalized the Book of Concord in 1580, this Formula of Concord became part of the confessions of the Lutheran Church. So let me just read what I had in the newsletter and then explain it. The distinction between the law and gospel is a particularly brilliant light. It serves the purpose of rightly dividing God's word. And that's found in 2 Timothy, by the way, chapter 2, verse 15, where we're to rightly divide the word of God. Because you don't see everything on the same level. There is a clear distinction between the proclamation of law and the proclamation of the gospel. Now listen to this next sentence. We must guard this distinction with special care so that these two doctrines may not be mixed with each other or a law be made out of the gospel. Now let me explain how that happens even among Christians today. The gospel is the good news that you are saved. Well, there are some people who teach that the way you get saved is by making a decision. It's called decision theology. Or by inviting Christ into your heart. Or saying a prayer of invitation. Or some others think doing good works. In fact, if you ask a Christian, many of them today, how do you know you're a Christian? They may respond, well, look at the good works that I'm doing. Only Christians can do that. Well, this is a reliance on the law, because a preaching of the law teaches that no one can fulfill the law perfectly. Oh, yes, our new man can sometimes bring forth what's called fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is a work properly done out of motivation for Jesus Christ. But by and large, many a time, the law is turned into the gospel in the sense if you do this, you will live. This kind of nonsense. So these are two different doctrines in the scripture, the law and the gospel. And their next point is really good. When you mix the two doctrines, when that happens, Christ's merit is hidden and troubled consciences are robbed of their comfort, which they otherwise have in the Holy Gospel when it is preached genuinely and purely. What does that mean? Well, you see, if you give an impression to a person, and even a Christian, that the reason that they can be sure heaven is their home is because look at how many good works they're doing. Look at what they've done. They made decisions for Jesus. This will rob them of true comfort, because in every life it becomes apparent that my faith is not at the level that it should be. And when that occurs, then I wonder, am I truly saved? Here's how I would describe the law and the gospel then on the basis of this little paragraph. The law are God's demands, which we must meet perfectly and which we never can meet perfectly. That means sinlessly. Because the old Adam always involved in every good work we do, and the involvement of the old Adam is always out of self-interest, out of sin. So it doesn't matter what good work you do, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it may be a fruit of the Holy Spirit because you do it out of love for Jesus, but the old Adam always wants to take somewhat credit for it and therefore spoils the perfection of any good work we do. If, therefore, the law says, okay, here's what you must do, say, or think, and do it perfectly, and then concludes, by the way, you can't, then there is no solution to the problem of the law by the unbeliever. The solution comes about with what we call the gospel. And what's the gospel? If those are God's demands that we need to be perfect, the gospel is God's solution to our problem. And we spoke about that, I think, earlier in the week. We have two problems, sins of commission, sins of omission. Well, what is the gospel antidote to sins of commission? That is, sins we commit. We receive the gift of the forgiveness of sin. It's not that we suddenly stop sinning. No, that's not the gospel. But that we are no longer held accountable for our sin. Well, what about sins of omission? Things we know we should be doing and we are unable to do, like forgiving our neighbor perfectly and this sort of thing. What's the gospel antidote? There it's found in Isaiah. It's found in Revelation. It's called the robe of righteousness. Just kind of think of that parable, referred to as the prodigal son, where he returns home to manipulate the father, and instead the father shows such great love for him, he gives him the ring, which gives him authority, he gives him shoes, which shows his royalty, and then he gives him the robe of righteousness, which is the best robe in the house, which has to be the robe of the Father. That's what Jesus has done for you. He's dressed you in his robe of righteousness. So, as a Lutheran, I can say something that people really are going to wonder about, is you don't have to do any good work in order to be saved. What? You mean when you're converted, you don't do good works? No, listen to what I said. You don't have to do. You certainly do good works, but they are spontaneously done and freed. They're freeing because you're not coerced to do them. I mean, how would you like to be under parents who won't let you eat unless you do your chores ahead of time, like clean your bed, wash the car, cut the lawn, do the dishes. No food for you. See, parents continue to feed and clothe and give sleeping quarters to their children, even when they're disobedient. How can you think less of God? So does a child have to be obedient to get any of those blessings? No. No. That obedience comes about when the love of the child towards the parent grows. In fact, a child really cannot be properly obedient until they really love the parent. Prior to that, they're doing it out of self-interest. And that's what every religion in the world does. So the problem is, there is no gospel preaching in any religion in the world. Only the faith of Christianity teaches the gospel. And what is the gospel? Well, it's got a couple of parts. I mean, it's got a lot of parts, but let me just use two of them to prove to you that it is never found in any religion in the world. The first part is that God becomes your substitute. Find me another religion where that happens. He becomes your substitute in taking care of your sins of commission and your sins of omission. And he did that, and here's the second part, by becoming a human being and dying on the cross, taking upon himself the punishment that should have been yours. I challenge you to find any religion outside of the faith of Christianity where that is taught. It simply is not taught. In every other religion in the world, you better do this. You better do that. And it is only a preaching of law. So going down a little further into the formula, merely preaching the law without Christ either makes proud people who imagine that they can fulfill the law by outward works or forces them utterly to despair. Let me give you two examples from the Bible. Proud people, unbelieving Pharisees. Thank God I'm not like that guy because I fast, I tithe. You see, they were looking at their obedience to the ceremonial laws and concluding, therefore, that, boy, I'm really right with God. More right than that guy over there who listened to him confessing his sin. But from Jesus' point of view, it was the tax collector who talked about being a poor, miserable sinner that became justified. God doesn't justify people who already have justified themselves. And that's just a waste of time. He justifies those who recognize they are not in a justified state before him because they are poor, miserable sinners. So the first thing that happens, if you hear only the law, you must minimize the law. That is to say, oh, so I can obey it outwardly. They're not worried about the inward motivation. And that makes them proud because they can look at their works and say, hey, I have fulfilled the law. How about forcing someone utterly to despair? The example I would give could be Saul, who committed suicide, and Judas, who committed suicide. They were forced utterly to despair because they recognized that all their hopes and plans were vapor. Like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, vanity all is vanity. That's why a lot of people, I believe, are not going to church anymore. Because the churches they were attending spoke law, never the gospel. I challenge you to listen to Joel Osteen and ever hear the gospel mentioned. It never occurs. And he may mention Jesus, he may mention forgiveness, but the Joel Osteen type of theology is you can do about anything you want if you only put your mind to it. With the help of God, of course. He always sticks that in there. As though God is just a helper to get you what you want. People don't attend Joel Osteen's church very long, because they suddenly find out after a number of years they're not getting the benefits he seems to have gotten. And so they kind of just go into becoming a nun. And when I mean nun, I mean N-O-N-E, not N-U-N. So if you only preach the law, the only way that people feel good about that is they have to minimize the law and imagine that they're keeping the law. Or when they are honest with themselves and they hear the law and they see that there's no part of the law that they're able to keep, that will bring them into despair. Well, believe it or not, that is the purpose of the law, to bring people into despair. The law, continuing here with the formula of Concord, in the law, God reveals his wrath from heaven on all sinners and shows how great he is. In this teaching, sinners are directed to the law, and from it they first learn to know their sins correctly. That's really extremely important. That's the purpose of preaching the law. On a Sunday morning, when I preach the law, it's always on the basis of the text for that day, but you speak it in such a way that every person in the pew begins to feel guilty. Guilty because they can't accomplish this. And when one does learn how guilty he or she is, according to John 16:8, the law has convicted the world concerning sin. In other words, it's kind of like a physician. You maybe have a headache. You don't know why you have these headaches. So you go to the physician for the purpose of finding some medicine that will clean up your headaches. In the process, what does the doctor do? He doesn't start off the conversation saying, well, here's what you should take. No. He first has to diagnose the true problem. And the true problem is maybe you're getting a headache because you have allergies, or there's some virus in you that's causing it, or maybe it's just because you've got a lot of things on your mind and you're depressed. There can be many reasons for a headache. And the fact is, depending on what reason becomes obvious, that decides what the treatment is. This is really important to understand. That understanding what God has done for us is really something really important, because you don't know what he's done for you until you realize your need for what he has done for you. And that's the purpose of the preaching of the law. So if you want to talk about law and gospel, using the medical metaphor, the law is therefore the diagnosis of your problem. The gospel is therefore the treatment that God alone provides for your problem. In other words, anytime preaching is about your sins and God's wrath, it is always a preaching of the law. In contrast to the gospel, what's a clean distinction between law and gospel? Law is the problem you have. Gospel is the solution that God does. That's really important to understand. It's the solution that God provides. Not with your help, with your cooperation. No, he does it all by himself. And then applies the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness. One can understand why the ceremonial laws are not in effect anymore, since one of the reasons for them was to show us how truly sinful we are. Every time we sinned under the Old Testament books, you had to go to the synagogue or the temple, do some kind of sacrifice to make up for it. Now, what has replaced the ceremonial law? What is there that can show you how truly sinful you are? And the answer to that is the cross. Here's what the formula says. What more forceful, more terrible declaration and preaching of God's wrath against sin is there than the suffering and death of Christ, his Son? Wow. But it goes on. If that's all you talk about, his suffering and his death, that's not yet preaching the gospel. You're still stuck with Moses and the law against the unbeliever. The gospel and Christ were never ordained, it says, and given for the purpose of terrifying and condemning, but for comforting and cheering those who are terrified and timid or feeling condemned. This is such good news. When you go to a doctor and he prescribes a certain pill, sometimes it has not over the counter, but a prescription, and you go and get those pills from your drugstore, and what a difference they make. You feel so much better. In other words, when John 16:8 says the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, that means that the means the Holy Spirit is using to convict you is not the gospel, because that comforts you. It's the law. And therefore, the law is extremely important. When you get up in the morning, you sometimes will wash your face. Or when you come in from work in the garden, you'll wash your hands. Why? Because you see the dirt and you want to get rid of that. That's kind of the law. The law mirrors your true self. Oh, before I eat, I better wash my hands. Well, guess what? Before you go to heaven, you will see you need to wash yourself. It's called baptism. And even though it appears that you're the one doing it, it's really an action of God who baptizes you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Speaking of Dr. Ralph Bowman, whose funeral is today, one of the sermons I remember him giving in chapel was on this note. And he made the point that when we talk about baptism, it's not just, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His sermon was about how a better translation is, I baptize you into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For when you are baptized, you receive the gifts of the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness. You will, if you attend the sermon today, you will hear of that comfort. It doesn't really matter how big a sinner Dr. Ralph Bowman was, or how big a sinner Pastor Tom Baker is, or how big a sinner any of you are. Through faith in Christ, that sin has been taken care of by the forgiveness of sins or the robe of righteousness. It totally cleanses you so that heaven is your home. The only people that God invites into his holy heavenly kingdom are those who are sinners. If you're not a sinner, you won't be going to heaven. The difference is, yes, sinners also go to hell, but the sinners who go to heaven are those who have recognized their sin, repented of their sin. And that repentance is not just sorrow and contrition over it with a hope to change your behavior. It also includes the fear of God. When I look to see whether somebody is repentant of sin, that's the first thing I look for. Are they afraid of God? For if they are not afraid of God due to their continual sinning, then they really don't understand what Christianity is all about. and therefore they remain in their sin. Law and gospel. And by the way, we just went through three paragraphs, and there are a number of pages, not only talking about law and gospel, but also the third use of the law. That's another topic that we may just wait for another time. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel today on Worldwide KFUO. Tomorrow, we're going to be meeting with Wes Reimnitz. He had a couple of suggestions for our discussion, but if you would like to make a suggestion, simply email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.